This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome to the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast. This is podcast number 179. And I'm Peter Higgins. You can find me at Conquers3 on X. And I'm here with my brilliant and suitably attired co-host, Henry Viola here. Henry, smiling, happy. How are we doing, fella?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you, Peter. Lovely to be back with you again.
And here we are, 2 weeks on. The time seems to be flying by, Henry. We're already almost in the middle of May. Some of us have enjoyed bank holiday. We've got another one coming up by the time this one goes out. And before we do the next one, I think we've already had another bank holiday. What news do you want to share with us, Henry, regarding what you're seeing in the markets and something interesting,
well,
unusual?
We've got some absolute galloping volatility, I would say.
Yep.
There are price swings all over the place. I was caught particularly off guard by a company I own, a little chip, fabulous chip manufacturer and designer, really, called Ensilica, which has skyrocketed 135%, something like that, year to date. It's a tiny little business, you know, 100 million market cap. I mean, it's a lot bigger than it was a few weeks ago, but they listed on the US stock exchange, and all of a sudden the Americans went bananas for the shares, and they've
as
just
they do sometimes. Yep.
And if you'd asked me, you know, back in January, what I thought my best performing share was going to be this year, I wouldn't have named Ensilica. So
nice surprise to have, though. Nice surprise to have.
Absolutely. And this is the thing about volatility. It's not all bad. Sometimes it's volatility to the upside, and these huge momentum swings are an opportunity to take a bit of profit out of the market. So it's not all doom and gloom.
Absolutely. And folks, the reason why we're having this conversation is precisely that. We're looking at, as we always are, actually, with all these podcasts, is we're looking for opportunities, winning investing opportunities and potential in the markets. And that's what Henry and I try and talk about each podcast. So I think probably, Henry, we just want to do a quick recap before we get into some of the stocks we're going to talk about regarding the podcast 178, which was an improvised podcast, which we covered most of the stocks that were discussed at the Master Investor Show. We've had some great feedback for it. However, I wanted to just talk to you about the actual live event and the feedback we've had from that, the mini video that highlights have come out from that, and your thoughts regarding that, because we had some fantastic people come and speak with you precisely. You know, I'm almost thinking that you need to start wearing a little cape regarding your entourage, because you and Stephen, you might have to start, you know, I don't know, selling tickets.
That's very kind of you, Peter. I'm not quite at the levels of Stephen Yu fame yet, but you're right. It's absolutely lovely to be approached by members of the public that listen to the podcast. And it's one of the things that I find, you know, almost disconcerting is the fact that they know me so well because they watch the podcast. And so they've yep. heard me talking at length for many hours. And I've yep. never met them before at all. And so for me, it's an entirely new experience. But for them, it's like they're meeting a friend. And it's lovely. It's lovely to get people that come and say hello and to hear where people are on their investing journeys, what they're interested in, why they're at the show, what they're getting out of it. It's just a lovely experience, really.
Yeah, it's good to see, because I love seeing your little face just light up when someone goes, oh, hi, Henry, I listen to the pod. And I just stand back and just watch and I go, wow, it's amazing. And they're coming from all. And I think the beautiful thing that you've touched on there is the variety of individuals as well, because we've got some individuals that are just starting their journey and some of them that are vastly experienced, but they're still choosing to listen to us. And and that still staggers me as well. I'm going, wow, you actually, why? You know what I mean? It's like, thank you very much, but that's fantastic.
It makes all the difference because, you know, I've I've never really been of the opinion that I know everything about investing. You're not of the opinion that you know everything
Absolutely
about
not.
investing. We're just trying to figure it out. And so when you meet somebody new, it's a whole new perspective on the market. It's a whole new basket of shares. People can come at you with companies that you've never heard of, and you can look at them together. And quite often you'll spot totally different things. And I love that experience of going, my goodness, you know, why, how did you find that? I've never even have thought to go looking at that.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I think the wonderful thing about it is, Henry, is that we're going to get another opportunity to do that very soon, right? So we are looking at September the 18th, which will be the Investor Summit. So you guys need to go and have a look at the Investor Summit site. There's going to be releases regarding the speakers. I can guarantee you that Henry and I will be there, and we'll be delivering a live podcast and talking about stocks of interest. And we've got something a bit spicy this time around to get more interaction with the actual audience of the day. So we'll keep you posted on that. But check out the website, www.investor summit. Henry and I will be on there talking on the 18th. Should we start this topic, Henry? Because we had a chat about the volatility markets, opportunities, winning potential, etc. And I mentioned one stock to you, and absolutely we need to talk about that.
Yeah.
So should we start with that as the
Let's
first break
go.
in? Yeah,
Let's
let's go.
go. Well, I
Okay.
mean, when you mentioned this theme, we were talking about the older episodes of the podcast, so when Wheelie was still here with us. And I made the point that one of the reasons I liked the Twin Peaks back then was because either you or Wheelie would mention a share that I'd heard of, I knew really well, you know, I don't know, Tesco or whatever, but I'd not looked at in detail, and all of a sudden it was screaming value, great dividend yield, looks like an amazing opportunity. And you just casually throw this out on my walk to work, and I go, my God, why haven't I looked at this before? And actually, it's this idea that there are really hidden gems sitting right in front of you if you go looking for them.
Hiding in plain sight, it's called, Henry.
Hiding in
Hiding in
plain
plain
sight.
sight. And you know, I think one of the aspects I love about investing is that the information is there if we're willing, able, and have the time to do a little bit of digging, a little bit of research, a little bit of tweaking, and not necessarily just choosing to follow that person, that person, that person regarding their analysis of the stock. Yeah.
Yeah.
Making your own minds up, which is what we always advocate on this particular pod. Right, Henry, I'd like you to pull up, please, on the share scope share screen, because everybody wants us to do that now. So we're trying to facilitate that. A little company which is going through a interesting time of it, called Picton on the share screen,
Okay.
please. So Picton Property Income Limited, to be precise, ticker symbol PCTN. Now,
PCTN. Here we
yep, that's
go.
the one. There we go. Right. So there we go, folks. So we have on there the summary page, as you can all see, and you can read that for yourself. But it says it's a UK real estate investment trust, a REIT. It's got a significant proportion of its assets in commercial property. And the beauty of that is that it's most of it's in the UK. Right, so you've got access to that, to those assets, and you can go and actually view them, look them, confirm where they are, etc. So yeah, 100% of it's in the UK.
100% in the
So
UK, yeah.
in the UK, yeah. So I looked at this stock, this REIT, back in January, and basically the alert was on the 13th of January. It said, we've commenced a strategic review and formal sale process, right? And the shares moved. If you go to the share page there, Henry, please, the chart page, sorry. Yeah, that'll do. That'll do. That page. Around 13, the shares started to move, and eventually they got to 84 pence. And a month later, when everyone was getting consensus, oh, this might go, you know, significantly above its above the price it started at and nearer to NAV, it reached 91 pence intraday on the 24th of February. Roll forward now, the latest news yesterday was that London Metric PLC and Schroder Real Estate IT, two REITs essentially. I've proposed and reached an agreement in principle for a proposed all share offer for Picton Income Limited, valuing Picton at £403 million, just above that, or 78.2 pence per share. Now I'm looking at this and I'm going, wow, the NAV's at 1.1 £1.02, 102.4 pence to be precise. That's a significant discount to the NAV. Therefore, this paltry offer of 78 pence surely will not be pushed through. And the market looked at the deal and went, we don't like this at all. Yeah. And I watched in the morning and the share price declined and the share price declined. So, you know, we've spoken about arbitrage opportunities in the past. Whether or not the, you know, everybody will allow this to go through or not, I thought to myself, here is an opportunity lying in plain sight. Shares dipped below 69 pence, and that's when I dipped my toe in the water and took a shareholding in this. Because as I view this, and this is not advice for anybody else to go and purchase it, just I see an opportunity and wanted to share it with you ladies and gents, is that this particular, and I'm keep using the word all this week already regarding another company I own, take under benefits Schroder Real Estate Investment Trust and benefits London Metric Property PLC, but not in my eyes the investors of Picton. So therefore I purchased that. I'm looking for a minimum of 78.2 pence being taken out, which will be shares in LMP and SHRE. But I'm hoping that someone else comes in and says, you know what, they're trying to take this on the cheap, and we're going to make an offer of 80, 85, and hopefully more regarding this particular stock, because it's significantly below. Well, the price of 78.2 will be 23% below the NAV, Henry. So I shared that with you, and I think you've got an interest in this, which, you know, made you smile when I mentioned this conversation to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a really interesting company takeover. I own shares in London Metric. They're my last remaining REIT, pretty much. And I agree with your analysis, Peter. I think this is a great deal for London Metric and for Schroder. I'm not so sure it's a great deal for Picton. Now, up on the screen at the moment, we've got the takeover announcement. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it goes on and on and on. But interestingly, there's this bit here. The board of Picton has carefully considered the proposed offer together with its advisors and concluded that the terms of the offer are such that the board would be minded unanimously to recommend to Picton shareholders should a firm intention to make an offer be announced. Blah, blah, blah. So the board's clearly behind this, and they've received a letter of intent from one of their largest shareholders to accept. Representing the 11.4% of the voting rights. Now, to me, this is typical of where things are going in the REIT market. There is a persistent NAV discount across the entire sector. And you're going to get consolidation because if you back those NAVs, if you think those NAVs are worth anything, there's value to be had there, and institutions will not let those discounts sit there forever. It's free money for them, essentially. And the core issue is effectively so many REITs trade materially below that NAV that it's just creating this pressure for mergers, takeovers, and liquidations. And this is really why I'm wary of owning too many REITs, because if you're on the right side of that merger, it's value accretive for you. If you're on the wrong side, you're just having assets taken off you at 70 pence in the pound, and you're losing value. So I'm not so sure this is a great thing for the sector as a whole, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I think, you know, the point you've touched on there regarding the largest shareholder, TR Property Investment Trust, saying, yeah, we're going to give you our shares as well, undermines the possibility of potentially a white knight investor coming and actually swooping and making a better offer. But I still think because of the significant discount, there's an opportunity, there is a small opportunity there. So I'm wagering that if it gets taken out, I'll make 10, 11, 12%. But if there is another person that comes in, another entity comes in and makes a better offer, then that starts the fight between all parties. And whenever there's a share takeover battle, it always benefits the shareholders that are the holders of the target company. Yeah. So my hope is PCTN, somebody aggravates this particular deal and it benefits moi, me personally, but also all the shareholders that are, part of this take under. That's my hope here. So we'll see. And I'm going to talk about another company later on that's been a beneficiary of this particular scenario. But I just think, what is currently a near 30% discount is a bit too much regarding this
Agreed.
particular stock. Yeah.
Agreed. And
And
I'd be interested to hear Annabelle's thoughts on this one because, is this evidence that standalone REITs just can't survive public market discounts? Are we just going to end up with fewer and fewer REITs in existence, in investment trusts?
I certainly hope not, Henry. And this is something that we're going to try and address in some of the conversations we're going to have with some of the individuals we're going to interview on this pod going forward, and also at the Investor Summit. But I want to make a point regarding one of the individuals. He made a really good point, and you were in discussions with Wayne at WHU32. And this individual's super smart. He's very hot in the REIT space, investment trusts. The vast majority of his portfolio, I make the assumption, are in investment trusts or other vehicles of this sort of type. Very smart individual. And he made this very, very noted point here, Henry. And I'm going to read this to you because I think you've read it as well. And he was in conversations with you, by the way. The other question is, are both LMP and Shree dividends safe as they are getting watered down because PCTN yield is 4.86%, but LMP's is 6.63, and Shree is worryingly at 77.43%, must affect the Shree dividend cover if it goes through.
It's an interesting point, Matt. And I, on the surface, yes, he's right. You end up with a bunch of assets now on the books that are on a lower yield than LMP and SHRE. That's not the end of the story, though, because if they decide to sell off some of those lower yielding assets and realize them at NAV, you will get more cash coming back into the vehicle and therefore an uplift of your total NAV, while still sort of not having cash tied up in underperforming assets. So you do, there will have to be an element of recycling, I would suggest.
Yeah.
But I think it's a little bit more complex than just saying, oh well, Picton's on a lower yield, so it's probably not a great deal. The other thing that I'd not really considered up until this announcement came out was what happens to your NAV? Because if you've got this persistent discount on Picton, which we seem to have had for many years, are these assets really worth what we think they're worth at all? Are we paying fair value for them? Are we getting them at a discount? I have very little confidence in NAVs with REITs, if I'm perfectly honest. They tend to be, in my experience, overinflated. And so I wonder whether the fact that the board has so quickly gone, oh, yeah, don't worry, we'll definitely take that as a good deal, is a sign that maybe these assets aren't so great in the first place.
It's possible they've been inflated. I would hope they've not been too overinflated. But like you say, why would you suddenly want to sell £1 two of assets for 78 pence? Or is it the fact I've not actually spent enough time looking at the board as I normally do? I look at the fund manager, the board, etc. of Picton, and it was just an opportunistic thing. I've done very little research, in-depth research as I normally do, on Picton. Are they of a certain age where they're wanting re to retire and get out, Henry? Oh, brilliant. You pulled it up there. So the CEO is 53 years of age, Henry, the CEO.
Yeah.
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 If you go back to the director's book
Back
for me,
down here,
please, mate.
wasn't
Sorry.
it? Yeah.
Yeah, so 53 years of age. It's not that
Non-executive
old, is
career,
it? Not that
69.
old, Mike. Yeah,
No.
Michael Morris. So why are they in a rush to shut this vehicle down? You know,
It
is he
makes you
going to get a
wonder.
job running this when he's part of the enlarged group or not? I don't know. You
Makes you
know,
wonder.
so we'll have to wait and see the jury's out. The other thing here is for me is that for those looking and don't already own LMP or SHRE, buying Picton could be an opportunity to get almost access to those on the cheap without paying the price that SHRE and LMP are right now. You know, a bit of reverse engineering there, Henry. You with me?
Yeah, it's an
So.
interesting one, but I think the reason I liked this was because it plays so neatly into this hidden gems idea.
Yeah.
This was an RNS that I'd seen in the morning, and I'd gone, oh, okay, well, I'd better go and have a look at that when I get home because I own LMP, but it's not an active takeover of one of my companies. It's one of my companies acquiring something else, and I'd not really thought about it much more than that. Gone to work, don't worry about it. And then you and I had the conversation, and you mentioned the arbitrage play on it. And I went, I'd not thought of that at all. There is a share price difference because the shares are currently sat at 70 pence for
Yep.
Picton, and the takeover price is whatever it is,
78.2. Yep.
78. So you're right. You're looking at a 10% plus return there if that goes through. So the market clearly has got some reservations about this going through. But really, really interesting idea, and not something that I would ordinarily have spotted in the way that I do my investing. So I really liked that.
No, cool, mate. Yeah. Reinvested my Atlantic Lithium funds into there, Henry. And that was a take under, which is why I keep using the word take under all of this week. As the name
Fantastic.
says, the lithium play. Lithium prices are soaring, got fantastic assets. But yet the mismanagement of the company is allowing the shares to be taken over at the base minimum. The rejected two offers at 30, 32 pence. And now they're agreeing 18.8 pence shares. I've only recently got dipped my toe in because I had my concerns about the management team and the C-suite of the company.
Yeah.
And this will be my 66th takeover in 12 years, but this is a take
Nice.
under. And I've actually lost on the premium of the takeover because I purchased it nearer to 19 pence.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
I'm sitting here, the share price is sub 17 pence, and I've gone. On Monday, I'm not waiting around for these guys. I'm out because
Yeah.
it's just they've just somehow maneuvered it in a way that the only winners are the management team and the other entities that are involved in the company. And I'm saying to other people that have asked me, they're going, why are you selling out if it's you know if it's sub 17 pence now? You've sold it sub 17 pence, and the share price is going to be taken over at 18 and a half pence, 18.8, because I can actually make more money over the
Elsewhere.
next 9 months to 12 months while this is going on or off or whatever, then I can hold in that stock for the next 12 months. So yeah, got to be mindful that sometimes there's stuff going on, and same could be with Picton as within Atlantic Lithium, that no amount of research is going to enable us as retail investors to actually find. And the only people that really know what's going on are the management team and the people that they're speaking with.
Yes. Yeah, and I'm sorry to say, this is one of these businesses that you've invested in that I just wouldn't have the confidence to go near. You know, it's the negative, it's the 63% negative cash return that's got me. And I get that they're bringing a mining asset
That
on
would get
loss,
most people, to be fair, loss making and loss making
but
compounded.
that's a huge cash burn.
Yeah.
And you can see the share price over 5 years. We've had a large ramp, to be honest. I mean, it's gone up nearly 100% in 2021. Everybody goes, my God, lithium's running out. We're going to need lithium for batteries, et cetera, et cetera. Everybody piles in because it's got lithium in the name. They can do no wrong. And then the fundamentals kick in. And all of a sudden, people go, well, hang on a minute. You're going to need more debt to fund the mine. You're going to need more equity if you can't get the debt, which means shareholders are going to be diluted. You're paying no dividend because you're not generating any cash. You know, you are spending a huge amount on CapEx because you're bringing a mining asset online, how long does this go on for? And so
Exactly.
there's a bit of confidence in 2022, but you can see vast volatility there. And then the fundamentals kick in, and you get a 40% drop, a 25% drop, a 40% drop year after year. And this is the market saying, no, sorry, we won't back this forever. This actually isn't worth anything if it's not going to make some money.
Absolutely. And the big thing you've missed out in the middle of all that is the geopolitical unrest and uncertainty around the location of their assets as well, Henry, which
Course.
throws another little in the mix. And you and I have had a conversation about where are the assets again? Oh, I wouldn't touch that area. And that's
Yeah.
what spanked them as well during 25 and 26, sorry, 24, 25 and 26 as well.
Yeah.
You know,
Spot on.
arbitration of this and arbitration of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
So
yeah.
in interesting one, Pete. Interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
In the theme of missing things that are straight in front of your face, what was the one thing that everybody was talking about last year? Investing in the defense sector. You and I
Defense and
stood up on
aerospace.
stage at, gosh, was it the Investor Summit? And did a segment, and we talked about Rheinmetall and BAE Systems. Do you remember that?
I think that was Master
And
Investor. I think that was Master Investor Show,
was
Henry.
that that was the Master Investor Show? I'm
Master
getting my
Investor
events
Show
mixed
2025. Yeah.
anyway. And I've never really gone back and looked at them again since we did that episode.
Hey, mate, let me interrupt you. We smashed it with our recommendations of people to read what stocks to research in those
There
stocks.
you
We
go.
did. Yeah.
So the other day, just out of curiosity, I went, I wonder how BAE Systems is actually doing. Let's go and have a look, shall we? Well, the momentum seems to have petered out a little bit. So I'm looking at a 5-year view here on the chart. And you can see as defense spending ramps up since 2021, we've got good double-digit gains every year, 50% last year. And then it seems to have had a bit of a wobble. And if we zoom in a little bit on the chart and look at the last, let's do the last 6 months, you can actually see the share price is coming down from all-time highs. The all-time highs are up here at sort of £23 a share, and we're back down at 19 now. And I thought, what on earth is causing this? Because it's a great company. We've got 11% return on capital employed, 10% cash return. We've got a 2% dividend yield. We've got great forecast growth, 10% earnings per share, 27% pre-tax profit. And the thing is that this isn't just, I think when we originally spoke about it was sort of a Ukraine trade. There's volatility in Ukraine, therefore there'll be more defense spending, therefore this is a good share to, sort of put your money into. But as time's gone on, there's now more of a structural demand across the whole of the Western world for rearmament. It's not just Ukraine rearming. It's Germany, it's France, it's the UK, it's Poland. There's rising NATO expenditure. There is a greater demand for sovereign defense capabilities as well. So it's not just a case of buy arms from wherever in the world. What if all of a sudden the person you're buying arms from or the country you're buying arms from isn't as friendly as they were, a la the US in recent months? You've got a proliferation of new technologies, missiles and drones as well. And we're into a cycle of military modernization. It's no good wheeling things out of a warehouse that you bought 20 years ago and sticking those on the front line. You need modern tech. And so I think that defense spending is becoming structurally higher. And I think this is going to become persistently higher. And despite that, the BAE shares actually don't look that strong over the last 18 months. They're kind of wavering around the £20 mark. And I wonder whether this share is starting to rebase a little bit. Now, the shares had a huge rally last year. They've had a huge rally since 2022. I mean, they're up, what, 300%, is that? 200%, something
Yeah,
like that.
thereabouts. Yeah.
Huge momentum inflows, and this sort of retail crowding. Everyone wanted to be in defense. And recent weakness actually appears a little bit more like people going, well, look, we've had our 200%, we'll take a bit of money off the table, we'll take a bit of
Possibly.
profit, we'll consolidate, we're digesting this new valuation a little bit. But I think that that makes it all the more attractive because you've got a record order backlog with BAE. It's almost doubled since the invasion of Ukraine. I was reading one of their recent updates, and I think it has almost doubled their order backlog. And this matters because visibility forward looking is unusually high. You know these orders are coming in, they've already been placed, they've just got to be filled. And defence contracts are multi-year, so there's loads of demand for BAE to support the valuation that it's currently on. And governments rarely cancel strategically critical programs. It's not like you order five battleships and then go, oh, well, I know you've built half of them, we've paid for half of them, but just give up. So I think governments are becoming guaranteed customers in this space. And so this recent pullback in BAE from £23 to £19 actually kind of looks a little bit attractive to me.
This is a quick hello to you, our valued Twin Peaks Investing Podcast listener. Whatever channel you're listening to, please make sure to subscribe and you'll always be the first to get the new episodes. Thank you for your continued support.
I agree with you, Henry. And once again, it's one of those hiding in plain sight. I think part of the conversation, though, is indirect to defence and the military modernisation issue. I think what's happened, if I was using a slight little distraction, is that we had a period where defence stocks were in vogue and the Mag7/tech stocks were not. Yeah.
Yeah.
And all things relating to that, Rolls-Royce, BAE and others were absolutely, Rheinmetall, which we mentioned in that particular pod, were absolutely soaring. And Rheinmetall also, we can pull that up a bit later on, its share prices rolled over just a little bit. But with the tech stocks now coming back in vogue year to date, the NVIDIAs of the world, Microsofts, the Apples, Amazons and so forth, Meta, coming back in vogue almost. I think some of that hot money has come out of the market a little bit. And everyone's now waiting to see what the valuation of SpaceX is going to be and space technology. And now they're going towards more towards some of those stocks. And also because of the ongoing Iran war slash debacle, backwards and forwards, and the volatility, as we spoke about at the very beginning of the podcast, some people are going, you know what, as you've said, I've made my 100%, my 200% in BAE. Let me take some money off the table. There are still a significant number of people sitting all in cash or 50% cash or 30% cash. But some people are very cautious now about the markets. So they've taken some money off and potentially looking to reload when there is some calm. And the one fly in the ointment we've not talked about is the uncertainty around who's running the UK government. Yeah, with all the other stuff that's going on. We're not going to talk about that on this pod right now, folks, but you all know what I'm talking about. We're on May the 13th. You know, they've got the King's speech today, so probably nothing's going to happen today. But this month, there could be some significant changes or continued of the same of what we had before with promises of change. So I'm not going to get into that. But yeah, opportunity there, Henry. I love what you said about the order, record orders, a backlog, visibility, and the fact that this is a case of being patient long-term regarding the stock. And this could be an opportunity. Again, you've pulled the screen up for Rheinmetall there, rolled over from, 200?
2,000 euros.
2,000 euros per share and sitting back towards the Fibonacci level of 1,000. So that could be an opportunity there going forward because, you know, German listed company producing what needs to be produced on a defence level for countries all across Europe and overseas as well. Could be an opportunity there. So yeah, two opportunities in one discussed there, Henry. Well done regarding that. Have you got thoughts yourself of purchasing BAE, Henry?
It's one I'm looking at. I mean, the question for me that where it is in my process, I'm trying to figure out now whether growth and order visibility justify the premium. So if we
Right.
go back to BAE, I like my value kind of methodology. I think you do as well, to be fair. But this isn't a cheap share anymore, right? It's on a price to free cash flow ratio of 30 times. It is not a cheap, unloved, undervalued, hidden anything, right? This is a fully valued, high quality business. The question is, does the valuation now justify the metrics that we've got? And I'm leaning towards yes, actually. I think this is rebasing at a sensible level for a good quality business. And so I want to do a little bit more reading around what the order book looks like, what the balance sheet looks like, how they provision for bad contracts, that sort of thing, because I've been burned in the past with contractors. So I'm
You and me
interested to
both.
see, understand their sort of risk management methodology around bad provisioning, and understand the breakdown of the order book. But it could well be one that I do go and have a little nibble at, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I think there's a beauty in what you've just said there, because sometimes and often we're at fault for not paying up for quality. Yeah, and I suspect back in 2022, 23, other people thought at £10 a share that BAE was pricey and expensive, and watched it then go up to £25 a share. Yeah.
Yeah.
So sometimes you've got to pay up for it. And now you know, for those that were saying, oh, when it gets down to £16 a share, earlier on last year or earlier on this year, I'll buy it. The opportunity is now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, totally agree. Totally agree.
Okie dokie. I'm going to take a quick pause here because I've had some disappointing news shared with me in the last week or so, and I've been trying to navigate around it. But we set up a Just Giving page for Mark Bentley, and we were supporting the FT Financial Literacy and Inclusion campaign in honor of Mark. And something went amiss regarding the setting up of the page, and for some reason, Just Giving has closed that page down. And for all the things I've been trying to do in the background to actually get the page reopened and reset it and continue it on to January, it does not look like I'll be able to do that. So before by the time this podcast goes out, there might be a fresh page that says it started again. But obviously the £1,500 I've raised already has gone to Flick. And we may have to start a fresh page. So I'll add all the information regarding the URL, the web page for the new Just Giving page, or the continuing part two of the fundraise. I'll put that onto all the various different links going forward. So just wanted to keep you guys abreast of that, because we're going to continue to run that until end of December, beginning of January for Mark and FT Financial Literacy and Inclusion. Yeah. Okay.
That is a disappointing event, but one that I can thoroughly understand. When I set up the page for Centrepoint when I did my year's fundraise, it wasn't the most straightforward process. And I'm somebody that's quite used to doing sort of compliance paperwork and registration forms. And I sort of sat there for a few minutes going, "Am I doing this right? I'm not entirely sure."
Yeah, it's bizarrely clunky.
Yeah.
And I've got two IT people in my household, and they just, instead of me going like that, clunk, 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 they go, oh, come on,
Yeah.
bit like you, and just sort it out. And they were like, what's going on here? Oh, we just need to do that. And then when I got to that bit, wouldn't allow me to do it. And I've contacted them, contacted FT Flick as well, and they've gone, oh, just do this, and it's not worked. I've gone back to Just Giving, and it's hopeless. So I'm just going to start afresh.
Right.
And we'll move on from that.
Lovely,
Okie dokie,
lovely.
Henry.
What's
So
next on the list?
next on the list, Henry, I think this is a conversation piece. I think we need to have a think about opportunities and hiding in plain sight. And if you pull up the chart for me, please, for Scottish Mortgage, SMT, please.
Oh.
Because we've got to remember that this is an entity that was absolutely loved. And everybody had this particular, everybody that wanted to buy an investment trust, everybody that wanted exposure to tech, I would say a significant number of them add SMT in their portfolio. And you can see that chart, right? That no, the one that you've got up there, Henry, is fine. You can see that particular performance, right? 2021, midway through, it is sitting there right at the top of its game. And then for the next 3 years, 22, 23, 24, it became unloved. And everyone's gone, oh, they've lost their spark, they're not investing the right things, they've missed out on this, they've sold that too early, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then 23, it seems to have based. 24, it's gone up 18%. 25, it's gone up again. And right now, it's almost back to the highs of where it was in 2021. And part of that, adulation and attention and further investment it is getting is primarily, I would say, especially this year, is around the valuation of SpaceX and the portfolio that it's got and exposure it's got to SpaceX, which is sitting currently at, I've got it here, it's higher than that, Henry. I've got it higher than 6%, but hey ho, what do I know? I've got it
Well,
here
that
at
was
that
last,
it's
that's got a slight lag on it. That's as
right,
of
okay.
the 28th of
The
February.
statement I've got from them, Henry, is saying that they've got a 19.3% stake of the portfolio, right? That's values the percentages that they've got in
It's
SpaceX
worth
at $2.98 billion.
It's worth pointing out that there are multiple share classes of SpaceX that they own. So they've got the J
Absolutely.
preference at 6%, the N preference at 5%, the A class common at 2.6%. So your figure could be accurate. It just looks
Yeah,
like they own multiple different share classes.
yeah. So their portfolios as exposure from their own statement of 19.3% within their valuation of what they've got exposure to. So the value that they've got exposure to in SpaceX is sitting at nearly £3 billion, right? Long-term investing here, folks, right? They invested 151 million in August 2021. If you go back to the chart, that was near when the chart for SMT peaked. That valuation has been up and down and so on and so forth regarding SpaceX, and the share price nadired in 2022, yeah, at lows when everyone's saying the company's gone, it's lost its way, and so on and so forth. The share price has now gone up significantly since the lows of 2022. Yeah, and the lows of 2023, yeah, doubled and more so from the lows. I nearly said CEO then, the fund manager, the manager of Scottish Mortgage since 2015, has been a chap called Tom Slater, and he's had a fantastic. He's done a fantastic job, but he doesn't get talked about as much as, you know, Terry Smith or Nick Train. But over the past 5 years, 10 years, he's pretty matched their performance regarding. Delivering returns for investors. And most definitely, in the last 3 or 4 years has outperformed them. So I think SMT is one of those companies, again, that was hiding in plain sight in 2022, 23, and even 24. And depending on what the true valuation is of SpaceX, and I personally think it's overvalued, actually, it could be an opportunity for people who haven't done so yet to keep a close eye on SMT.
I am not a fan of SMT. I think they've got very, very lucky. So you look at these top 10 companies.
Henry, part of investing is about luck
I
sometimes, mate.
know, but I'm not paying my investment manager to gamble and get lucky. I'm paying them to have an edge. And you look at these top 10 holdings, right? So we've got SpaceX, and I'm going to come back to this in a moment because SpaceX, I've got some thoughts about. But Mercado Libre, which is the South American, basically Amazon, as I understand it. Okay, business. Would I want to own it? Maybe. ASML, great business. I would want to own that. Amazon, I think massively overvalued. Nvidia, I think massively overvalued. Meta, I think is an awful business. I think Meta and Mark Zuckerberg are a
Careful,
disaster
careful,
to
careful, careful, careful.
invest in. And then you've got ByteDance, which is the Chinese company behind TikTok. So of those, the only ones I would actually want to own, if I'm perfectly honest, maybe Nvidia, but it's a lower valuation, maybe ASML, and that's probably it. Even Amazon, I am skeptical about. But what I would say about SpaceX here, and the reason I've got such a problem with SMT, is that the valuation, and you, to be fair, you've just said yourself you think it's overvalued. It's being valued at what, $1.5 to $1.75 trillion, which will place it amongst the largest companies in the world, despite the fact that their revenue and their profits are actually fairly modest, despite this mega cap status that they're being given. It's not being valued as an aerospace company anymore. It's being valued as a hypothetical infrastructure platform. We're talking about launching data centers into space. We're talking about telecoms opportunities and defense applications and AI. No one really knows exactly what these things will do, but we just think that SpaceX might have, some involvement with them and therefore will make ludicrous amounts of money in the future. Investors are pricing in order for this valuation to work. Investors are going to have to price in success across Starlink, which is this satellite telecoms business, Starship. So we're going to now be recreating, Star Trek. We've got defense infrastructure. We've got direct to cell communications. We've got AI infrastructure. We've got orbital computing capabilities that currently aren't actually feasible. And maybe, who knows, even getting to Mars one day. SpaceX, in order to justify the valuation that it's going to get, what, 1.5 to 1.75 trillion, all of these things are going to have to not just work, but be smashed out the ballpark in terms of success. The revenue multiple is hugely aggressive. It's on a revenue multiple of like 110 times annual sales, 100 times annual sales. And it's based on technology that is not commercially proven. Do you remember 4D, the biotech firm
Yes,
that was researching gut
of
health?
course I do. Of
It
course I do.
sounded amazing, right? I loved the idea of this thing taking off. It collapsed in a heap and went bankrupt. I think SpaceX is the same thing, but multiplied by a factor of 10. Now, Scottish Mortgage Trust might have bought some at peanuts, and fine, they've got very, very lucky with it. But does this show insight on the part of the fund manager, or is this just sheer luck? I think it's the latter.
Very good point. Very well made, Henry. Obviously, the word you've not mentioned regarding the valuation of SpaceX is the name of the person behind it. And there is this argument that, Elon Musk has not invented anything, and it's lots of different engineers have done all of this, all of these different works regarding every single project that he's actually now the leader of. But the valuation is sprinkled with that dust of Elon Musk, and that's part of the reason why I think it's overvalued. That's been bolted on, that's been bolted on to justify a higher and higher and higher valuation. And different the rules for the listing have completely been changed and reversed to allow this company to do what it needs to do to be listed in the way that Elon Musk wants it to be listed. So all of those sort of things put a little bit of a, I won't use the word I want to use, but you can fill in the blank yourself. Makes it all a little bit difficult for me to go, yeah, I would want to be one of those individuals that has an opportunity to buy that when it IPOs. And the likelihood is because of all the marketing and the spin and all the rest of it, it pops on the IPO, Henry. But at some point or other, after his birthday, and that's when he wants it to be IPO'd on the date of, which escapes me now at the minute as well, is it pops. But when the opportunity for other people to get out, possibly including SMT and others, they'll be wanting to sell. They'll be wanting to escape. We've got all these different entities. We spoke with Annabelle, who have got exposure to it, including SMT. That may be the opportunity for you as individuals and investors and shareholders that are listening to this podcast to plan your exit strategy for within the first week, the first month, or the first year of this IPO in. You might want to go, my exposure to that has been maximized. Let me get out. and really consider that.
Yeah, and to be fair, I'm being quite critical here of Scottish Mortgage Investment Trust. I haven't looked closely at what else they hold. So we've discussed the top 10, and I would just moderate my comments here slightly in that I listened to an update from them. I think it was a quarterly update from the fund manager talking about some of the investments they've got, and they sounded fairly switched on, fairly intelligent. You know, by the end of the broadcast, I was thinking this was something I ought to look at a little bit closer. But what I would say, what I would urge our listeners to understand is that there is a difference between the marketing of an opportunity and the
Oh,
fundamental economics of the investment you are making. And in the end, the
absolutely.
share price will always reflect those fundamental economics. And so if you've got lucky on something that's got momentum without the economics, it won't carry you forever. And so if you'd invested at the peak in 2021, you'd be underwater, and you would have been underwater for the last 5 years, and you'd just now be getting back to where you were. And you'd have a 0.3% dividend yield to keep you interested along the way. So I'm not so sure SMT is a vehicle I'm overly fond of.
Yeah, no, you're spot on, and that goes the same with the recent wins that I've had on IQE, situation with All Atlantic, the situation you've just had with Encilica. You know, people chase it goes up, IPOs, it goes at a premium, it doubles, and then suddenly the reality sets in and he's sitting there, da 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 da, da. And then you have to look for the opportunity. And now Encilica's bounced up, as you said, 130% year to date, you know, because of, you know, the story has reached new ears almost. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Spot
Henry,
on, man.
which is your next stop that you'd like to talk about, mate? I'm conscious of the time that we've got here
Yeah,
for
I've
this.
got one final one which I will rattle through,
Okay.
which is Kinetic. The ticker is
Okay.
QQ. It's another defense sector business. Again, it was this idea that everybody was talking about defense last year. Now it's all gone a little bit quiet. Now, Kinetic, for those of you that don't know, is a company that operates in the aerospace, defense, and security sectors. They offer air engineering services, so air traffic management, air safety, you know, aeronautic engineering support, communication support, reconnaissance, intelligence, and surveillance services, fast jet, sensor fusion training, sensors, cyber and data science, amongst many others. Cyber accreditation protection, cyber security health checks. And also, they've got a bit of the business that does maritime support. So, this is around the IT systems on ships and naval bases, the radar and stealth technologies, that sort of thing. Very interesting business. It's a £2.1 billion market cap company. Pays a 2.4% yield, and it's got a 9% cash return on capital employed. And interestingly, unlike BAE and Rheinmetall, the shares have not gone bananas the last 5 years. They've actually been fairly lackluster. We've had a bad year, a good year, another bad year, 2 good years, and this year we're off the boil again, down 9% year to date. Now, this business is less of a traditional defense manufacturer. It's not really a bombs and bullets kind of business. It's more the technology layer behind modern warfare. And unlike BAE, which seems to be going from strength to strength, Kinetic has actually stumbled in the last couple of years. This is why the share price hasn't really gone anywhere. They've had program delays, they've had weakness in the US. They've had procurement uncertainty in the UK, and they've had margin pressure as well. If you look at the return on capital employed, the 3-year average is nearly, well, it's 14% on the nose. Last year it was 4.1%. So their margin's been absolutely crushed. And the market has punished the shares accordingly. Now, the question for me, what I'm trying to research at the moment, is really whether these are temporary operational problems. Or have we actually got structural impairment here? Is this a business that's been holed below the waterline? and it's not going to recover? Or is this something where all of a sudden we're going to get this right and shares are going to take off? Don't know if you've got any thoughts on that, Peter.
It's always one that's intrigued me, and I've always been waiting for that big catalyst regarding QQ, Henry, and it hasn't arrived. And as you say, most of the cohort in that space, defense stocks, UK listed defense stocks, have outperformed it significantly over the 5-year period. Even looking at the market, you've got the CAGR there, 5-year CAGR of 4.2 for QQ versus the stock market of 8.1. So it's underperformed it by nearly 50%. So I think what you're saying and implying, and I would be in the same sort of boat, is saying, is that time coming soon for QQ because it's been neglected and left behind? So is it an opportunity? Is it a hidden gem hiding in plain sight? I think the next update from them, given all of the remilitarization regarding what's going on in Europe and across Europe and the rest of the world, could be a catalyst if it's a positive one. Given the fact of all the, like you've said, program delays and other issues they've had. And it only takes that one catalyst for them to start that re-rating process across it. Because they've not had a re-rating, as you can see from the chart, essentially for 5 years. Yeah. So I think the next update or the update after that could be ones to keep an eye on. And any sort of news of significant contracts, which they're saying the margin is going to be thus, this is what the, a 5-year or a 10-year contract that's sizable could be the catalyst, or even essentially a change of the CFO or the CEO could be something that actually triggers a re-rating in the, regarding the market because it is significantly underperformed. And the danger is, and I always say this, and you have to be cautious with these things that I say sometimes, is that at 2.1 billion pounds market cap, this is a bolt-on for some overseas predator that can see an opportunity here where they can increase the return on invested capital regarding this particular company. Yeah. It's a tiddler in the defense space at 2.1 billion. And it could just be taken over by somebody much, 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 much larger that wants some of those patents and wants some of that exposure to the technology that they're doing. So I'd be mindful that, if we don't value it well ourselves, somebody else will come in and take that over. And case in point of a company that does something on a technological level is Intertek, Henry. Have you noticed what's happening with them? I think they're on their third or fourth bid. The share price was wallowing down at £35 a share. And now it's going to be taken over. I think they're saying this morning that they're probably going to agree to sell at £60 a share. Yeah. So sub
It's
£40
fantastic. I mean,
going to be
it's
taken
all.
out at £60. So yeah, we have to be mindful. And again, it's got similar sort of chart there. Look, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, barely any movement. And in fact, it's got a worse 5-year CAGR than QQ of 0.7
So you've lost money
versus
after
8.1,
5 years.
minus 0.7, should I say, versus what QQQ had. So someone's going to come along, and someone has come along with Intertek and gone, we'll take that out. We'll take it out. Thank you very much. And it's a 50-cent premium to, well, to where it was earlier on this year. So yeah, good call with that one, Henry. I'll probably have a little look at that myself and have a look at what else is going on regarding it, and consider having a nibble at it. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to
Fantastic.
quickly talk about two stocks, Henry. One that I know that you utilize occasionally, and one again that's been neglected, and you've touched on operational problems. This one's had raw material problems, employee cost pressures, margin pressures, energy costs, the slimming pill craze that's been going on, and people choosing not to eat their fares. This company is Greggs, Henry.
Oh.
Whether you are an experienced or new investor, you know how valuable it is to conduct portfolio enhancing analysis and to have easy access to data that will give you the edge. As a Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener, you can access an exceptional offer, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. This special Twin Peaks offer is available to new subscribers only, and you can subscribe using the promo code TWINPEETS. The incredible and exclusive offer means that monthly subscribers will get their second month free and annual subscribers will get their 13th month free. Sign up and subscribe today using the Twin Peaks promo code and you can save up to £69. Visit sharescope.co.uk for further details and subscribe to the investing and trading analysis and data you need.
I am a fan.
Have you gone, ooh, because you're getting hungry because it's nearly 12:30?
And now you say that, my stomach is rumbling.
So, Greg's, as you can see from this chart, ladies and gents, right? It's been a brutal, brutal sell-off regarding the share that was absolutely loved. And I'll get Henry to later on show you the 10-year chart on it. But as you can see, you know, 2021, 22, late 21, sorry, the shares are absolutely loved. It's almost up there at £40 a share. It's been absolutely smashed to sub £15 a share. And the shorters have been out. The bears have been attacking the share and trying to short the share lower and lower and lower as a consequence. And it's been smashed since mid-2024 down to the lows of this year. And it is a company that is broadening its horizon. It's tried to innovate. It's tried to tweak this, tweak that. And we have spoken about it before. Personally, I'm looking at it now and thinking, is this a time where all of the negatives regarding the shares are priced into the stock? It came out this week and basically said improving sales for the year. They've shaken up their menus. They've targeted new shops. But they're still saying that they're facing higher costs, obviously, because the Iran war is still rumbling on. So the thing that popped, I'm going to try to be quick with this one, Henry. The thing that stuck out for me was a tiny bit of news, which I think most people have missed, right? And this might sound bizarre, but everyone knows I'm a bit odd regarding things I spot. And Henry always chuckles going, what's that got to do with anything? But this is a tiny little bit of news, folks, right? Bearing in mind they run 2,759 shops, they've picked up a new outlet in Tenerife, right? Henry's already smiling going, what the hell?
Yeah, what?
Right? They've got a new international outlet in Tenerife, Henry, right? So holidaymakers will be able to buy Greg's Sausage Rolls and all the other entities in Tenerife South Airport later this month when it opens its only international outlet, right? Greg's last opened a shop abroad in
Belgium
in 2008, right? And basically, I'm seeing this as an opportunity for them to have access to 13 million holidaymakers every year that pour through that particular
But come on, who on earth will go to Tenerife and has a sausage roll?
Henry, bear with me. Let me finish, right? They're not going there to shop and get a sausage roll to Tenerife Airport. But when they're stopping and passing through, they'll get a snack and go through it. But the point I'm trying to make here, ladies and gents, is that this shows that the levels of innovation they're going for and the opportunities that they're seeking. And could they then go for that airport and that airport and that airport and that airport? Yeah, they're already in the airports in the UK. Could they do a similar sort of thing to the hotspots, the hotbeds of where people are traveling to, where UK holidaymakers are traveling to? Yeah, it's a possibility, Henry. Yeah, the shares have been smashed from what, a year high of £22.50 to a year low of £14, and they're currently sitting at £16. Is all the negativity priced in? Yeah, I'm thinking this could be, if they sort themselves out, the war ends, that the oil price reduces their energy costs lower accordingly, latter part of this year, beginning of next year, and all of a sudden you go from a negative 2026 and 25 for the share price to a positive end of 2026 for the share price, and then it starts to re-rate above £20 in 2027. That's what I'm saying regarding this particular.
I'm sorry to say it, because I do like Greggs as a brand. As long-term listeners will know, I am a big fan, but this graph I've got up, the company's debt and cash position, looks like a catastrophe to me. Debt is stable between 2019 and about 2023 at around $250 million, £250 million, sorry, maybe £300 million at most. And then in 2023, all of a sudden, it's taken off. What on earth are they borrowing all this money for? Because they're borrowing a lot in less than 10 years. They have nearly doubled their total debt, and their
That was the
cash
route.
balance is
That was
going
the
down
bit. That
rapidly.
was the proliferation and the build out that they were investing in, Henry. So
Right.
they're now looking to. If you go to the return of investment page, right? They're now hoping that that investment is going to start reaping the rewards going forwards. They did not plan into their calculations the high energy costs, the employee costs were going to be going up, et cetera,
Yeah.
et cetera, et cetera. Now the employee costs are not going to go down. Right, that's not going to happen. The energy costs and the raw material costs could, if things stabilize, could and should come down. And therefore, the
They've got their
profitability
work
going
cut out
forward
for them,
could
Pete. They have
change
got the
rather.
work cut out for them. I think they'll
They have got
probably
the work
need
cut out for them.
sausage roll and a cup of coffee to get them through it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to very quickly mention this other stock, and I do hold this stock. And again, it's a bit of news that's hiding in plain sight, folks. This is Aberdeen, right? Back with its vowels, spelt properly, ticker symbol ABDM. A low of £1.60, a high of £2.29 in January. The low of last year was May the 13th. We are recording this today on May the 13th, the low of £1.60. The share price is currently sitting at £2.22. The share price is up 36% in 1 year. They're currently still yielding 6.5%. And a bit of news that I've seen regarding this stock, I'm thinking, And we had a conversation about this, Henry. And this was around all the shenanigans and all the rest of it going on regarding Herald Investments being attacked by Saba. And what happened? A deal was struck. And now Katie Potts, a veteran of the investment industry and a fund manager of significant sort of outperformance, the fund is now being embedded into Aberdeen's investments going forward. So that gives them a safe house for a good significant, well, any all the years going forward. It gives Aberdeen assets under management. It gives Herald a platform for growth and stabilize and improved marketing going forward. And I suspect this could also be a catalyst for Aberdeen to stabilize. They've had a difficult few, well, 5 years, and I was opportunistic in buying it near its lows, and I've done really well out of it. But I think, given the fact they're now heading towards breaking out of their 3 to 3 year high share price, could be a catalyst for them going forward. That's all I wanted to say regarding it. And given the fact we spoke about Picton, it could be another one that they go, let's just watch and see what goes on for a couple of weeks. Could they get involved in that as well and purchase that? I think they're going to be opportunistic going forward and look at what Sabre is doing and probably try and capitalize, because they know full well that some of these investment trusts would rather be in the house of Aberdeen rather than the house of Sabre Capital. Thoughts?
Not a fan of Aberdeen, if I'm
The
honest.
Bermuda. Those not looking and not watching on YouTube, you need to see Henry's bemused look. He's not convinced.
No, I think this is a legacy brand that is struggling to find relevance in the modern day, if I'm
Oh,
honest.
how dare you?
I mean, it's a big beast, don't get me wrong. 4 billion, this isn't exactly an irrelevant, nothing business, and it's got considerable pedigree and heritage. But what is their differentiator? I own one fund manager, which is Polar Capital, and they are highly differentiated specialist funds that they run in a very particular set of niches. And so I know what I'm getting there. Aberdeen, what are they known for? A FTSE tracker, an S&P tracker, a global property fund. I suspect it's a large mix of fairly vanilla type funds. And so if they're going to get relevance in a world where you can buy an all-world equity tracker at 0.1% and probably outperform them, They've really got the work cut out for them.
Very good point, Andrew. Henry. Okay.
Again,
What they know,
I'm a little bit.
what you asked the question, what are they known for?
Go on.
And the gem hiding in plain sight, Henry, right, is Interactive Investor, the platform. Everyone is moving, not everyone, lots of people are moving away from Hargreaves Lansdown. Lots of people are moving away from that platform. One of the fastest growing platform for investors is II, is Interactive Investor. And that's the hidden gem within the cluster of businesses that they run. Yeah, that's the hidden gem. And my hope, and it may not happen, Jason Windsor, the CEO of Aberdeen Group, is that they will consider at some point to release value, yeah, for the company. They may consider spinning off Interactive Investor as a standalone entity. Because if you look at the market cap of that company there, it's sub 4 billion. Yeah. They've sold, purchased, and been involved in all kinds of shenanigans over the past few years, vastly more, possibly two times more than the current valuation that they've got. They've bought certain things at the top of market, and then it's not worked out. They've done this, they've done that. They've lost a lot of money in some of the investments that they've made, and they need to get back in good stock to get this stock back up near to £4. And the hidden gem regarding this, which is where the topic we started on this podcast, is Interactive Investor.
Interesting, Peter. I like it. I like it.
I've turned you around, have I?
Well, no, more the fact you've caught me out there, because I didn't know Aberdeen owned
Oh,
Interactive,
did you
and
not? Sorry, I thought you
I
did.
didn't. That's what I mean. This is what I like about the podcast. You mention something and you go, well, I should have known that, but I didn't know that, or I should have seen that and I didn't see that. And that really, at the end of the day, is what investing is all about. It's
Absolutely.
about having that confidence to sometimes to look at the obvious, to see the obvious, to see what's right in front of you, and to go, no, that is what it looks like. You don't have to go for these esoteric opportunities and bizarre financial structures to make money. Sometimes it's right
Yeah.
there in front of you.
Henry, I am far from the smartest cookie in the book. I will admit that when I get loads of things wrong, loads of losers regarding investments and investment trusts, and I share them on X. And yeah, there are certain things because of what interactions of certain people I've chosen not to share and not to discuss with people openly on X. And the of the 10,500 people that follow me, there are five people on a recurring basis that don't even follow my account, that know everything I do, will chastise me for the things that I don't share, but I have nothing to say about all the stuff that I do share. Hence the reason why I have conversations with you in a cut and a small other group of people, and they know almost everything I'm doing all the time. But I think the interesting thing is that the opportunities are there. We're doing research. You and I are having conversations. You're telling me stuff. I'm going, anyway, I didn't even see that. I don't understand that. And then you'll say something to me, or someone else will say something, and I'll go, aha. And the penny drops. And this is what the podcast is about. You don't know everything, Henry. I do not certainly know everything. Yeah. But between us all and having conversations and sharing information and sharing this pod, there is somebody's going to go, but Pete's missed this or Henry's missed that. Let me go and have a little deep dive on it and spend the time. And then we all benefit from that knowledge sharing. Yeah. And I'm not making any recommendations. Look, go and research. Go and research EnSilica. Go and research Aberdeen. Dismiss Kinetic if you want to. But when it's sitting there, 5 years from now, because it's rebased and it's got some contracts and it's five times higher, you're going to go, gosh, I remember when Henry mentioned that when it's near its 2026 lows. Yeah. So it's opportunity for learning every day. What's my mantra, Henry? Every day is a school day.
Every day is a school day.
Yeah, followed quickly by kindness matters is what me and Henry try and do with every podcast. Henry, let's close this, mate. Conscious of the time, what do you want to close with? What do you want to say to people?
Just thank you so much to everybody that's written in. Thank you to everybody that's donated so far to the charity fundraise. We will get the page back up and running. So please just hold fire. If you can't find the page, do message us and let us know. We will be putting the link out as soon as we can. And thank you to everybody, as always, that's written in on the blog, that engages with me on social media, on LinkedIn, on Blue Sky, on X. Very, very much appreciated. Please do keep the comments coming, and happy investing.
Absolutely. I agree with those sentiments. And ladies and gents, I want to thank you, Henry, first. I think anyone that's not followed Henry yet, I'm not sure why you're not doing so. So please find Henry on X at HT Viola on X. And he's also find him on LinkedIn and he puts out his blog. Do you want to share where your blog is again, Henry? The
I
well,
am.
you
I've
changed the
had a
name,
bit of
actually. You haven't shared the news that you changed the name of your
a.
blog on the
I am.
page.
I've had a slight rebrand. We are now the Capital Ledger, no longer the Ethical Entrepreneur. If you go to the Ethical Entrepreneur, you will still find the site. It does redirect. But the new URL that we have got, if I've got any signal, bear with me, is www.capitalledger.com. And you will be able to find us. I'm still writing. I try to get articles out on a weekly basis. Sorry, a weekly basis, a monthly basis. I'm not that prolific.
Talking about somebody else that there,
Yeah,
weekly
but
basis.
the Capital Ledger, the rebrand really was all about, I wanted something that was reflective of my sort of long-term views of investing. My patience around investing, something that was quite a thoughtful place for financial commentary. And I didn't really feel that the Ethical Entrepreneur as a name reflected that so well. So the Capital Ledger was a bit of a pivot in that direction.
It suits you as well, mate. It suits you, that
Thanks.
name. Yeah.
Thanks.
I appreciate that name. All right. Thank you, Henry. And those of you who haven't done so, please visit Henry's blog at the Capital Ledger. And please visit us again in 2 weeks' time. We'll try and record this around the 26th, 27th of May and make sure that you have something for the, I think, bank holiday weekend might have gone by then. Towards the end of the month, we'll have another pod for you. We'd love to hear your feedback. We'd love for you to like this podcast on YouTube and subscribe on there as well, and converse with Henry and I and let us know what you like, disliked about this particular pod on X and on Blue Sky and on also on LinkedIn when we post it on there. But feel free to just share it, retweet it, and post it yourself regarding your comments on whichever platform you utilize. Until then, a big thank you to you all. Take care. God bless you all. Have a fantastic bank holiday weekend when it arrives. I'm looking through my window here in Leicester. We've had hail and now we've got rain. I'm hoping this peaks regarding the worst of the weather for the weekend. Until then, we'll see you in 2 weeks' time. Henry, thank you again, sir. Take care.
My pleasure, Peter. Thank you
God
very
bless you
much,
all.
pal.
All right, mate. Bye for now, folks.
Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit shareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.